following advice is really good. And you have to ask yourself, someone's given you advice, what haven't you followed? Right? You have to ask yourself those questions. You have to make it personal. You have to say to yourself, what are the things that I need to do? For those of you that have cars, right? For those of you who have cars and drive, is the light on? Is the light on? I've got a couple disciples. We're backdoor friends. There's a husband and wife of two blocks away. They know that if their light's on and I'm coming by at 10 o'clock at night, I'm knocking. I knock on their door. And they know it's me. They know it's no criminal. You know, and I'm like, sometimes the window's cracked a little. Said, I see your light's on. They said, come on in. And we got to know each other. The night she moved here, I had to run around all day, dropped off some food earlier in the day. There, I just lost my reward in heaven. Oh, well, I'll keep sharing personal things. But that night, when I came back into the neighborhood, her light was on. I went down, knocked on the door, said, hey, I saw your light still on. Figure you're unpacking something. Can I help you? I was just on my last box. I said, let me help you and let's get to know each other. And we became backdoor friends. Is their light on, right? Is your light on? If someone stops, do you get an attitude because they didn't call first? My parents, they didn't have the cell phones today. If their friends were in town, they just stopped by the house. And if it didn't look nice, that's our own fault, isn't it? Right? And they didn't care. So come on in. They never refused a friend at the door. Another one is, you know, with this situation and everything's COVID, you want to meet someone else outside your normal group? Ask someone, can I join your Bible talk? Can I just come as a visitor to your Bible talk one night? And get to know them, get to know their life stories. You know, another thing you can do for those of us that walk around, and Miss Winsome, I'm getting to you. I got something for you too. For others of us that walk around, you know, pull out a map. Pull out a map. Figure out in every direction, how far can you walk, right? Figure out who in your ministry or who you want to reach out to can walk the opposite direction and hang out for 15 minutes, right? Make it happen. We make excuses. I think oftentimes we don't find solutions, follow the Spirit, and we make excuses for why we don't reach out or spend time with our friends, right? So when you get that map, don't let the weather hinder you, right? All of you are New Yorkers, probably. Bundle up, right? That's my next piece of advice. Bundle up. Get your gloves. Get your scarf. By walking to meet your friends, you stay off the subway. You know, you keep from getting on those buses and subways, right? You get some exercise, natural built in. Boy, you gain some benefits by doing that. Take a thermos of hot coffee or stop at a Dunkin' Donuts and pick one up for the other person. You know, or a hot chocolate, right? Just to be a servant when you get there. Just some other things that I wanted to just maybe put in your ear, put in a bug that you might want to do is put a stamp on it. This one's for you, Miss Winsome. This cold weather, we wouldn't want you out there running around getting cold, right? But the other day, I got a card from my sister, my maternal sister. And in there, she sent me some face masks she had made for me. But she also included little tidbits about her and her husband. And what a nice thing it was to get a piece of mail that was not a bill, right? So I picked up a roll of stamps, right? I put on those envelopes when I'm thinking about somebody. I've got some envelopes here with stamps on them. And if I don't know their address, I text them. And then while I'm working, I take that card. I just take a little break, make a card out to them, a couple of notes how I'm thinking about them, praying for them, or whatever's on my mind, something little about me. And then I drop it in the mailbox on the corner, right? And so you got to find solutions, and you can point at someone else for not being their part, but you can't help them, but you can help yourself, right? You can do things yourself. You've got to trust your own spirit, like not our spirit, not what we're giving you. The other thing that I really wanted to remind you of was the scripture that they mentioned tonight about, are you thinking about pure, what's noble, what's admirable? Are you thinking about those things? And if you're not, maybe challenge yourself. A couple weeks ago, a sister was telling me about a piece of pie. I was like, she goes, you ever had that conversation about a piece of pie? I was like, apple, coconut cream, What are you talking about, Ray? I'm a foodie. Can you tell I'm a foodie? But she wasn't talking about that. I see Miss Winsome smiling. See, my joke worked with somebody, right? But Miss Winsome, what they were referring to was the piece of pie in a person's character. She said, I had to take a step by and realize the thing that I didn't like about somebody was just one piece of a pie in their character. And they forgot to look at the whole pie. And boy, was I convicted. I got goosebumps right now. I had an aha moment when she said that. And the person that I didn't want to call, prideful sister, thinks she knows it all, piece of the character that I didn't like, I wanted to run from, I had to disciple myself. And boy, the minute I was willing to call her, right? I was willing to reach out to someone who might have something challenging in their character because I started looking at the whole pie, guys. So I just want to challenge you with that scripture. You know, if you're having trouble with someone as a piece of a pie, ask someone else what they like about that person. What are their strengths, right? Ask them if you can't find them yourselves so that you can think about it. This sister learned that. Because a sister was moving out of our ministry, and on the night that she was leaving, everyone else shared these wonderful things about her that she didn't know, because she had always focused on the piece of the pie that she didn't like. And she and I both had aha moments. So I hope that, you know, we hope that those things that we shared tonight, the story of, you know, I'm definitely not Greg, right? Mr. Hawaiian shirt there, you know, and you got to be able to pick on your friend. You see him laugh? Look, now, God worked it out there, we're a matching peach, but you've got to be able to pick on your friends, and you've got to be able to be picked on, right? Because we are friends. My best friends, if I can't pick on them, boy, we're in trouble, right? But those are just, we hope, some practical for you guys that would help you in building your friendships to overlook and really look for the people. Jesus did not just have perfect friends. Right? It said that Jesus said that he had many sorrows. Everyone he knew, all of his friends were sinning and nailing him to that cross, right? Matthew, Judas, every one of them, though, it said he was filled with many sorrows. But do you push yourself to be like Jesus and love them anyway? I guarantee you, I would not want to be friends with Matthew. I would not. Mr. Tax Collector taking my money, Judas putting his hands into the church pot. That'd be a person I'd run from if I knew of someone stealing from the church, right? So, you know, we really have to push ourselves to love people where they're at to help them overcome things so that we can be good friends. If you're a good friend, you do. That person may not be the best. So one last little nugget here, guys. When I was a young Christian, I heard Lynn Beatty preach that all of us should have 12 good friends, right? 12 good friends. And I thought, 12? I'd be lucky if I had 4 or 5. And over the years, I've tried to keep a couple good friends and be open with people and build new friendships. And I'm so fortunate that I did, because my best friends died within 8 months of each other, right? They passed away. Sarah Caballero, those of you who knew Thelma, and here we are back. So I'm not sure what happened there. If you can still hear me, I just hopefully we'll be going back into the main room. All I see is someone's desktop, Angelo, just so you know. Okay, so it looks like something's happening with slides. Can anybody hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. So, you know, when you need to continue to build friends throughout your lifetime, because your friends may not be here in the years to come. They're going to get married. They're going to move away. They're going to pass away. They may leave God. So, you know, to have more friends and be open with the next person to be able to build that friendship, well, it's invaluable in your time with God as the years go by. So we hope that helps. I don't know how we're doing. Angelo, do we have time here to open it up for questions, or where are we at?
Well, I have some more stuff to share, but thank you, Robin.
Oh, okay, we're back to Greg.
Hey, we could have ended the message there. That was so good. And I'm like, man, you know, like I'm convicted. But Robin, thank you so much for sharing your heart. It's such a great example of just building great friendships. And I was just, you know, just short. I was just inspired just working on this message with Robin, and she was just encouraging my socks off this week, and I just appreciate that. So she's such a great example of just how to be a true friend. I appreciate that. But yeah, Robin shared a lot of great things on just how to initiate building some great friendships. You know, we should ask people to hang out. We should be initiating different friendships. Let's not make initiating weird. I think sometimes just in the singles ministry, initiating friendships could come off as a bit weird, whether it's like a brother reaching out to a sister or a sister reaching out to a brother. I think it could just be easily misconstrued, and we'd be like, oh gosh, this person probably likes me. That's why they're reaching out to me. We need to remove that thought process. Let's not make it weird. It's okay to slide into the DMs, you know, but it's how you do it. You know, if you're gonna reach out to somebody, if you're gonna send a message, just don't say hi and that's it, you know, because I think that's weird. Introduce yourself, say, hey, my name is so-and-so, I'm, you know, from this, you know, region, or, you know, want to know if I could get to know you better, or just casual, you know. I think we could put so much pressure on just how we want to get to know different people, and we like put this pressure and make it just awkward, and just, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're a family, and we should definitely get to know each other. I want to encourage you guys to take time to call people, text people, whether in your region or outside of your region, to see how they're doing. You know, if somebody's not responsive, then that's okay. We have a huge church. We have a huge family. You know, we could reach out to more people. You know, just a great to have a fellowship that is international. Amen. You know, there are plenty of ways to connect with people around the fellowship. You know, there's different Facebook groups that are there. There's singles Facebook groups. There's different like Instagram groups as well. During the pandemic, I know I had to think of some creative ways just to build different friendships and, you know, going on virtual dates. There was this cool virtual date I was a part of, where they kind of emulated the Netflix show Love is Blind, but we kind of did a more spiritual version called Dating is Blind, where it's three brothers and three sisters. We don't know who we are, but the date is, it's not video, it's just audio. So we turned off our cameras and we put like incognito names, just like secret names that like, so that we don't know who we are, each other are. And you know, we did 30-minute mini dates with each person. We just didn't share our name, but anything else, we just asked questions to get to know each other. And then at the end, we do a big reveal and we reveal our cameras, and you know, we had fun together. We like cracked jokes, played games on Zoom, and it was just such a creative and fun way to like get to know new people. And no one knew each other. We're all from different places. It was like a person from California, a person from San Antonio, you know, me from New York. It was just a mix of people. And it's definitely been a lot of fun doing that and just doing some creative things like that during a pandemic. But yeah, let's just think of some great ways on how we can get to know people and build different relationships. So I know we've been talking about initiating a friendship. You know, that's great. I'm like, all right, that's step one, initiating. But now, which leads me to my second point, we need to also maintain those friendships. Not only do we have to initiate, we also need to maintain those friendships. So I want to turn over to Matthew chapter 26 right now. And we're going to see some ways on how Jesus maintained his friendships with his apostles. So in Matthew 26, starting in verse 36. Not sure if we're going to have a slide or not, but Ah, there we go. Thank you, Angelo. I appreciate Angelo so much working behind the scenes here. So Matthew 26, starting verse 36, it reads, "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.' Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. 'Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?' he asked Peter. 'Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.' He went away a second time and prayed, 'My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done.' When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer.'" So as you can see here, this is probably one of the toughest times in Jesus' life. This is right before he's going to get arrested. And you could tell, like, man, like, he's really going through it. And so what he decided to do, he brought his apostles with him so that they could be with him as he prayed, so that they could pray together. You know, the first way that we could see Jesus maintain his friendships were through prayer. You know, he took his friends to pray together. Do we take time to pray with each other? Do you take time to pray with your friends? You know, I think, you know, we could really develop some really intimate and close and deep times with one another when we pray together. Because I know for me, like, prayer is just such an intimate time with God. And, you know, it helps, you know, I'm sharing my heart with God. And you know, hearing other people pray, I get a glimpse of their heart as well. You know, I get a glimpse of my friends' hearts. And, you know, I think it's a great way for us to know what we could pray for each other for and the struggles we're going through and the things that we're asking God about. So it's important that we have those times of prayer together. You know, there's a scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18. It says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." You know, let's pray continually with one another. I want to ask you guys to set some time to pray with someone this week. We also need to bear with each other. What were the apostles doing while Jesus was praying? You know, they were sleeping. I can't even imagine just what Jesus was thinking. Like, this is such an intense time. And, you know, I know for me, like, I would want my friends to be by my side if, like, I know I'm about to get arrested. I know I'm about to go through a lot of pain, a lot of hurt. And just seeing these guys just sleep on him, man, that's rough. But, you know, Jesus just went ahead and woke them up and you know, even after he was done praying, he's just like, "All right, guys, get up. Like, here comes my betrayer." But he was patient with them. And, you know, I think about the scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, where it says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." You know, we need to be patient with each other. You know, the fact is that we're humans, guys. We're sinners. We're going to disappoint each other. We're going to hurt each other. It's natural. But if we want to maintain friendships, we need to be able to figure out how we can be patient with one another, how we could bear with one another, how we can call each other higher, because we're all going to fall short. Are we patient with our friends? We should also encourage one another. You know, Jesus was trying to like get these guys up to encourage them, hey, stay with me. You know, let's you know, stay with me as I pray. Another great scripture is Hebrews 3, verse 13. It says, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know, we should think of ways on how we can encourage one another. You know, just think about some ways how you can encourage your friends. Whether it's, you know, Robin, a great example with the letters and the cards and or going out for coffee or going out for a walk, being able to listen to each other, I don't know, treating them to dinner or, you know, sometimes it's be cracking jokes and making each other laugh, sending funny memes to your friends. You know, I know Andrew's on here. We do that all the time. But it's some great ways on just how we can encourage one another. We need that because life can be hard, you know, life, especially this year, you know, it's a 2020 just, man, it's trying to take people out. So that's why it's just so important that we have people in our lives that could build you up, that we could build each other up. But I want to for you guys, just to wrap this up, to in order to develop relationships, you know, let's remember to initiate. Let's find brothers and sisters you can get to know. Think about it. And I want to challenge you to reach out to them. If it's somebody you don't know, reach out. Yep. You know, all they could say is no. Oh, rooms will be closing in 1 minute. Wow, perfect timing. I'm wrapping up here. Just challenge yourself to reach out to that person. The worst thing that can happen is they don't respond, or who knows, you might have just started a new great friendship. So just think about that, to reach out to one person. But then let's also think of ways on how we can maintain the friendship, because it's a great first step to initiate, but let's also figure out how we can maintain those friendships. So that's our lesson on building relationships. Just want to thank you guys for being a part of the class. And I'm sure we'll be taken back to the main session in less than a minute to wrap out the demo. Thank you.
I'll just add one more thing in as we have time. Sure. Brothers, when I call you, I'm not calling you to ask you to marry me. I'm not. I trust that if I get married, it'll be to the right brother.
Right.
I call the younger brothers so that I can take you out for coffee. But I also tell them I'm a cheap date. A cup of coffee is good for me. You know, I don't need you to spend money on me. But there are times I need to hang with the brothers to be normal.